Chapter 17. The book of St. Luke 17. We'll begin reading with verse 11. And I want to tell you, this story that I'm preaching from this morning is one of those classics in the Bible. One of those classics in the Bible. I think maybe I've not preached on this story enough through the years, but I am quite excited about preaching from it and to it this morning. The book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now you know the name Samaria is quite notorious in the Bible, a name of which the Jewish people refused even to go to. They would not go through the city of Samaria. They would travel some distance around to miss going through this city because it was a people of diversity, people intermarried, people that was both Jew and Gentile, somewhat mixed together. And the Jews felt it to be unclean. But Jesus came through the city, and to me it's notable that this great story comes out of this area. This great story comes out of this area of Samaria. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Notice that, afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. I like that. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet. I like that. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan, all right? He was a Samaritan. That amplifies the city of Samaria. And he was a Samaritan. I like that. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? And where are the 9? They are not found. There are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger only. Now notice that. Save the stranger only. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now I want everybody to read that last phrase with me. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now Jesus didn't say, I made you whole. Of course we know it was Jesus who did the miracle. But it was more than just the miracle that Jesus did, because Jesus does not do miracles unless he finds faith for which to do miracles. Did you know that? Jesus does not do miracles except he finds faith to do miracles. It is not that he cannot. It is that he does not. Because faith is our doorway into his presence. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I want to preach this morning on the Lord Jesus wants to make you whole. The Lord Jesus wants to make you whole. You may be seated. May the blessing of God be upon his word this morning. May the blessing of heaven be upon his word this morning. And may something gracious and wonderful occur that will bring glory and strength and honor. Now this story is breathtaking. I doubt there will be anybody in this building that this story doesn't speak to this morning if you listen. I doubt there will be anybody in this building who can't have a miracle this morning if you listen to this story. If you listen to these words. I love it. It ends with this great statement, thy faith hath made thee whole. That word whole, W-H-O-L-E, that will be a very significant word in this sermon this morning, because Jesus, the Lord, wants to make you whole. He doesn't just want to make you religious. He doesn't want to just give you a miracle as much as he must have loved giving those other 9 a miracle. But one man didn't just get a miracle, he was made whole. Do you get the picture? You know, most churches are made up of the 9s and very few of the 1s. Most churches are made up of the 9s and very few of the 1s. And for Jesus to give us this story is quite breathtaking to me. Now, I think it's a biblical classic. I think it has in it all the substance of a miracle. I think it has in it all the invitation of the King of Kings to a world out there. Anywhere, under any circumstance, anywhere, under any circumstance, our Lord is a miracle worker. Now, the Bible says he was on his way to Jerusalem, and he was passing through Samaria and Galilee. And here was a small village that was part of the Samaritan community, I would suppose. I think that's what he was saying. And in that community was a group of people with leprosy. Do you understand the significance of a leper in the Bible? Do you understand the significance of this dreadful disease, this dreadful problem called leprosy? Well, it was, of course, quite big in the day of Christ, and we see some miracles that kindly encircle these people who were lepers. We do understand that leprosy is a type of sin. Leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin. Those caught up in leprosy were considered more than just sick. They were considered to be sinners. They were considered to be outcasts of society. And you will notice in the very beginning of this story, they stood afar off. They stood afar off. Did you notice that? They were not close. They could not be close. It was forbidden of them to be close. They stood afar off. They stood afar off. Now, I want to spend a little time here because I think this is so noteworthy of this sermon. You see, sin is a force or power, literally, that will cause you to remove yourself at a distance from God. There's something that has happened in your creation. God gave you a spirit from Himself, a little bit of His own nature. And though you may be a sinner, you still have a spirit of life that came from God. And every person who has a spirit of life, yet they're caught up in sin, have a tendency to remove themselves at a distance from God. And to remain at that distance. And may I say to you very clearly that no person can come close up to Christ who doesn't first deal with their sins. If you don't deal with your sins, then you will never get close to Him. You will never get in His immediate presence. You will never be able to find yourself the person to receive and be the recipient of those heavenly miracles that He is so capable of. So you must understand that. So that leprosy keeps men and women at a distance from God. So does sin. Sin will cause you to remove yourself. Sin will cause you to keep a distance between you and the Father. Sin will cause you to keep a distance between you and the church. Sin will cause you to keep a distance from you and good saintly people. Sin will just absolutely cause you to pull yourself apart. I've been a pastor 57 years. I am yet to see a man, a woman, who was living in sin, refusing to confess and repent and remove themselves from their sins, that didn't find themselves at a distance, and they remained there. You'll hear people who've gone back into sin say, I'd go to church, but there's a bunch of hypocrites over there, you know. I'd go to church, but them people don't live what they claim. Well, that's the nature of a backslider. Or that's the nature of a sinner. Is to point a crooked finger at those who are really Christians. And to point a crooked finger at the house of God and the church of the living God. Because sin has caused them to distance themselves from that which is holy. You cannot get close to holiness full of sin. It's impossible. Don't even play the game. The game is dangerous. So don't play the game, because sin will cause you to be at a distance from God. Now these individuals, these 10 lepers, at a distance, they cried out, have mercy on us. They cried out for the Lord to make Himself real to them. They cried out for the Lord to show them His mercy. And God is a merciful God. I'm going to tell you, a sinner, regardless of how deep in sin they are, if they make any kind of push or any kind of reach toward God, there will be a kind of response. There will be a kind of mercy expression. These 9 were healed and they were not even saved. Do you get the picture? These 9 were healed and they're not even saved. They were not saved. They were not made whole. But they got a religious touch. They got a genuine miracle. They got a genuine expression of His love. Because God loves everybody. Did you know that God loves the worst sinner in Charlotte? Did you know that God loves the worst wicked person in our nation? Did you know that? He really does. Now, that's different than being able to give them the miracles they need. He cannot do that until they deal with their sins. It is imperative that they deal with their sins. Now, notice these 10. When they got the attention of the Savior, the Lord, And they cried out to him to have mercy upon them. He said to them, go to the priest. There had to be a synagogue close by in this little village. And there had to be a priest on duty at that synagogue, or Jesus would not have said these words to them. Because Jesus knew the circumstance. He knew the situation. He knew the religious atmosphere of this whole community. And he was able to say, go to the priest and offer a sacrifice, or go for cleansing. Go to get the approval of your cleansing. You see? Beautiful picture, really, indeed. And as they went, they were cleansed. Is anybody listening? Did you notice what it said? It didn't say they were cleansed and healed just standing there. It says as they went, they were healed. As they went, they were healed. One of the things I've noticed through the years is many people will pray, will ask for prayer, but they never make a move toward God. They ask for a miracle of healing, but they remain at a distance. And if you'll study the Bible real close, you'll find that every miracle he ever did, he did as they obeyed. He did as they moved. Stretch forth thine hand, he said to the man with the withered hand. Go wash in the pool of Siloam, he said to the man with the blinded eyes. He was telling people what to do so that faith could act. That's the whole purpose of his words. He's giving you a chance for your faith to pick it up, pick itself up, and go in his name. Woo, hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, if you've got a need in your life and you will cry out to God for it, and then when you hear the word of maybe the pastor or maybe one of the elders of the church or some good saint of God, and they tell you how to move forward, you get up and go. Hallelujah. If I come to your house to pray for you and you're sick, then get up and come to church. Amen. Anybody like this? If you'll go back in church history, Pentecostal history, you'll find many miracles occurred in that manner. The preacher and the members would go to the house of a saint of God at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And they'd pray until the presence of God came. Then they would say, hey, we're going to leave. You go ahead and get ready and come on to church. You're healed. And as they came to church, how many times were great miracles happened? Hallelujah. That's happened to me on occasions in my life. As I would obey him, he would heal me. I will never forget. I will never forget having a dreadful attack of my gallbladder many, many years ago. We were pastoring at Rockwell, and I went to the doctor over in a little town called Faith. That was the name of a little community. There was a doctor there, a nice gentleman. I went over to the doctor, and I said, I didn't come for medicine, but I want you to take a look and do some check and tell me what's wrong. He said, you've got a gallbladder that needs to come out of there. Your problem is the gallbladder. And I said, well, I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to believe him to help me, okay? Didn't get any medicine. I just went on in faith, believing God. Well, Sister Chambers and I, along with a brother and Sister Black, who were wonderful, wonderful pastor and his wife, we started to Texas, to the General Assembly in Dallas, Texas. On the way down, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, I'll never forget it. We're in the motel for the night on the trip to Dallas, and the attack came like a hurricane. And I said to them, unless you pray and God gives me a miracle, I have to go home. I cannot go like this. We prayed, and I felt that virtue that came right straight down upon my body. And it flowed through me. I felt it from my head to my toe, and I was healed. I mean perfectly healed. I got up from there, ready to go to the General Assembly. I was healed. But I got to Dallas. That was the year that President Kennedy had been assassinated. And so we were going to go from our hotel to the place where he was shot. And so we were marching, taking several blocks, maybe 8 or 10 blocks. And we was walking toward that place, and it came back again. Oh, man, did it hit me. And I said, wait a minute, Lord. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I am healed. I'm healed. And I'm not going to let the devil cheat me out of my miracle. And so I refuse the devil to treat me out of my to trick me out of my miracle. And I just rested in the healing virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it disappeared. And could I tell you something? That's been 1964. Do you realize that's 40 years? You realize that's, no, that's 50 years? Am I that old? That's 50 years ago. And I want to tell you that he healed me and it's never come back. How many can raise your hand and say, praise the Lord? Never. It's that old gallbladder is still in there. I guess it's doing pretty good at almost 79. Never had another pain there that I ever remember because he healed me. Now, you see, I was healed as I went. I was healed as I went. I was healed as I moved forward in faith, doubting nothing, trusting God, believing him. Say, when Jesus says, go and offer a sacrifice, go and be viewed by the priest, or go to church and worship in my house, you move when God speaks to you. When you get the word of God, act upon it. That's where healing comes. Does anybody get this? Let me see if anybody, raise your hand if you get this. If you want a miracle, you've got to move. If you want a miracle, you're not going to sit there in a grumpy state and get your miracle. You're going to stand up and say, I'm healed, hallelujah, and move forward in the fear of God. Somebody could be healed this morning, hallelujah. Somebody could get a miracle this morning. Did you know that? Somebody could get a miracle this morning. Well, it's beautiful to me that as they went, they were cleansed. Obedience to Christ. Stretch forth thine hand. And it was made like unto the other. Hallelujah. That's the purpose. That's the plan of God. That's how God does things in his holy and wonderful word. Well, a word. Well, the 10 of them healed marvelously. But here's one man in the crowd. He's a Samaritan, the Bible says. And he looks at his hands and he says, wow. Now, I'm guessing he said, wow. That's 1 Chambers 3 and 7, okay? But you know something? He looked at himself and he saw that he was healed. And he got so excited, he turned around and he started screaming, praise, hallelujah. My Bible says, and with a loud voice, glorified God. Hallelujah. You understand now why the church is made up of 9 of those and one of the singles? You know, we don't want to get too loud. Somebody might look at us. I don't care who looks at me. Hallelujah. Yeah. Anybody else feel that way? Hallelujah. I've done that in the Capitol building in Washington. I've done that in the Capitol building in Raleigh. I do that everywhere I go. I praise him. I serve a great big God. There's that crowd out there cursing and a swearing and a saying every ugly thing you can imagine and hurting your ears with their filth. I want them to hear something full of glory and praise. Somebody raise a hand and say, praise the Lord, will you? Come on, Brother Childress, raise a hand with me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isn't he a great God? Isn't he a great God? Doesn't he care for you? Amen. He does. He does. And so he raised his voice and he cried out praise and hallelujah to God. Now, he didn't just praise the Lord from a way off. Notice the beginning of the story. They was all a great way off. Sin, sickness, uncleanness wouldn't allow them to come to Jesus. But now he's clean. He sees it. He doesn't have time to go to the priest because the Lord may be further down the road. And so he runs toward Jesus. Now the Bible says when he got to where Jesus was, he fell down on his face. Oh, I love this. Brief or sorry. I love this. I really do. He fell down on his face. You see, when you really handle sin like you should, you will be so broken and so humbled and so smitten before God that you will lose all fear of man. You will lose all embarrassment that somebody caught you in your sins. You'll lose all trepidation because you realize now that you're guilty. You'll lose all of that. You'll just run to where he is, and you'll be ready to fall down on your face. You know, I remember the old days in the church world. It didn't matter whether it was Baptist or who it was. When a moving of revival took place, even among the Presbyterians, the people would get so excited about the Lord and cry out to God. And often they'd find themselves on their face crying out and seeking the face of God. Did you know that? Do a little study of church history. You'll find that men and women who really get hungry after God, they want Him above everything that there is possible to have. Hallelujah. And here came this one Samaritan who not only had been healed, but now he was ready to give the Lord everything. Everything. Marcus, that's what the Lord wants of every one of us. He wants everything. He will not accept just part of you. He won't accept a little bit of you. He won't accept you at your own choices when you get ready and then do your own thing at other times. He don't accept that. But when you come like this man did and fell at his feet, hallelujah, and gave to Jesus everything he was. Everything he was. It was a beautiful picture. A beautiful picture. Well, the first thing the Lord does is says, where are those nine? Where are they? They got the same thing you got. Well, at least initially. They got cleansed. Where are they? They'd gone on their way. Did you know the church is full of people like that? Who they just want a little touch. They don't want much. Just give me a little touch. Just give me enough to make me feel better. Just give me enough to soothe my conscience. Just give me enough so I can feel like I've had something from the Lord. And you won't see them for a month. Are you aware that that's the church world today? Anybody aware of that? That's the church world today. Nine fill our churches. But one, we've got a few of them. We got a few of them. How many of you want to be one of those one? Let me see your hand if you really want to be one of those one. Let me see your hand. Now, do you really mean that? Do you so mean that you're ready to sling yourself at his feet with total abandonment and give him all you've got and let him begin to make you whole? Hallelujah. I think it's such a beautiful story because it shows what really old-time Christianity is all about. It means total abandonment. He came and fell at his feet. He wasn't holding back nothing. I remember when I got saved, I was 16 years of age. That's 63 years ago, come in March. And I remember how I used to pray for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I would pray in that altar 10 and 11 o'clock at night until God wonderfully filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I remember the night in an old tent meeting that God baptized me in the Holy Ghost. I remember going to the altar that night and saying in my heart, Lord, this night is my night. I ain't leaving here till you fill me with the Holy Ghost. And could I tell you, by 9 o'clock, I was full of the Holy Ghost. Did you hear me? By 9 o'clock, I was full of the Holy Ghost. When you make up your mind, anybody sitting in this building this morning, now I'm going to stop right here and slow up a minute. Anybody sitting in this sanctuary, you'll make up your mind. You may never been here before, but you really want old-time Christianity. You're not satisfied to just have a little religious touch. You don't want to just sing a song or two. And you're not just wanting a little bitty touch. You really want to become His. You really want. There's several of you here this morning. I don't know everything about most or several of you who visit us. Very little. Very little. I know we have parents from our school here. And they are wonderful. I love every one of them. I love every one of them. But I happen to know that there's some of them that need something from heaven, that need a touch of God. Well, I want to tell you, when you will do like this one single man that had a touch, but one touch wasn't enough for him. One touch wasn't sufficient for him. He wasn't willing just to have a hallelujah. He wasn't willing just to have one praise the Lord. He wasn't willing just to look at his hands and see that they were now clean of leprosy. If that man can do that for me, what else can he do? Hallelujah. And so he came with all he had. Glory, glory, glory. He came with all that he had. That's what happened to me when I got saved. That's why I've been faithful 63 years is because I got the real thing. I didn't just get a touch and could see cleanness in my hand. I got a transformation that made me utterly His. And I gave Him all. And there's numbers of you in this building. When you got saved, you gave Him everything. And you know what? I don't believe in the kind of eternal security that you can live in sin and called unconditional eternal security. I don't believe in that at all. Because if you go out there and you start living in sin and you don't repent, you're going to lose your soul. I'm here to tell you. And I'm not going to have your blood on my hand when you get to the judgment and find out you thought you was going to get in and you don't. I don't want your blood on my hand. But I'm here to tell you something. When you ever come to this place like this man came to, like this Samaritan came to, to where you fling yourself at his feet and you give him all, brother, you'll make it to the end. Raise your hand if you believe that. But when you get to the place you give him all, you'll make it to the end, Brother Allen. Brother Allen's just coming out of eternal security and he's been kicking all the way getting out of it. He's waving his hand at me. He's been kicking all the way, you know. But we don't give him a moment's rest. None, especially Marlon. Oh, brother. But I'm a little more merciful than Marlon, you know. But I want to tell you something, church. When you really get this like this one Samaritan got it, you don't never want nothing else. Hallelujah. You don't never want nothing else. You just look at this preacher. I'm here to tell you. I know I'm going to heaven because I don't want nothing else. How many of you have been to Calvary like that? And you put everything on your altar and you're going to go all the way, hell or high water, you're on your way to the sky. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm looking for my long home. Hallelujah. I'm looking for my long home. Oh, well, this man came to Jesus and fell on his face and he didn't go back in sin the next week or the week after next or the week after that. No, no, no. He got the real thing. He was made whole. Well, let me not steal that part of my sermon this morning. But listen, very important. Where are the nine? Where are the nine? You know, I wish, gracious Lord, I wish that I had some way that I knew how to get to every Christian that I know and every Christian I preach to and every church I preach to. Every place I happen to, that anybody hears me on the internet, on the radio, wherever. I wish I knew how. And I've been praying for God to give me this. How to get through to people so profoundly and so deeply and so totally that they just fling it all at the feet of Jesus and get a walk with God that is so total and so complete that they never want anything else. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, let me go on. I got to try to finish this sermon. And he said unto him, well, let's read verse 18. There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise. Notice he was on his face. And Jesus had to tell him to get up. Did you notice that? Notice the man was on his face. And Jesus had to tell him to rise, get up. That's what the Bible is showing us very clearly. Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now look at me. I want you to watch me. Here's a leopard. His ear had fell off. You know what leprosy does, don't you? It consumes portions of your body. It kills the nerves. And portions of your body will rot and drop off. In that day, they didn't have any antibiotics. They didn't have the things that are available today. I read on the internet that leprosy is curable today, but it's a process, a long, hard, tough process. But in that day, there was no process. Move them outside the community and leave them out there while their body falls apart. Here he stands. He looks at his hands and they're clean. He feels for his ear, it's gone. I mean, all kinds of things have happened to his body, but he knows now he's clean. So he runs to Jesus and falls at his feet. And then the Lord says, thy faith hath made thee whole. His ear is back up there. It's back, he's whole. He's not just healed, he's whole. He's not just been cured of leprosy, he's been returned to his whole body. And not only is he whole physically, he's whole spiritually. He's got a hold of something that he had never known about before. Nothing but a Samaritan from the city of Samaria, a mixed breed, but he's met the Savior, the Christ of the world, and he's whole, he's brand new, and Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. I want to tell you something. The miracles of God are available for everybody sitting here. But they'll never occur until you totally cast yourself at his feet and believe him to make you whole. How many want to be whole this morning? Great. Somebody's going to be healed here this morning. Somebody's going to be healed here this morning. Somebody's life's going to be changed this morning. He wants you to be his. He wants you out of that old lifestyle of sin. He wants you out of that world of worldliness and careless living. He wants you living for him. And he's going to make you whole. Hallelujah. He's going to make you whole. I got so happy when I was studying this sermon. I'm here to tell you, I could hardly wait for this morning, Brother Allen. I just knew somebody was going to get a miracle. Because when you come to him, glorifying him, praising him, surrendering to him, casting yourself at his feet, he's ready to change you head, hat, feet, all the way. Oh, Cassidra Monsehova, Ranch Niklobra, raise a hand and help me a moment. I've been tossed here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody, God wants to make you whole this morning. God wants to make you whole. You've lived in sin long enough. You've been in and out and up and down. The church has been a place where you go when you feel like it, and you don't go when you don't feel like it. And you're tired of that kind of careless living. You're ready to give it all to the Lord. You ready to give everything to God? Hallelujah. Are you ready, sir? Good to have you. You've never been here before, but you're hearing the truth. He'll make you whole, sir. He'll make you whole, sir. He'll make you whole, William Abram. I'm here to tell you. He'll make you whole, little William. I'm telling you, he'll change your life so utterly. He'll change your life so completely. You won't ever be the same. I wish somebody would get happy and shout a little bit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so thrilled to be part of this glorious gospel. I am so grateful that that day happened when I heard the message of Jesus. And I didn't just sit back there and say, that's beautiful. That sounds so good. Oh, he's a good preacher. No, no, no. I didn't say any of that. I ran for Christ. I ran for the cross. I ran for the feet of my Savior. And I didn't just stand there and think he was looking at me and thinking what I was. I bowed down on my knees and cried, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, and he made himself real in my life. Oh, somebody help us, so real. Hallelujah. Oh, there's somebody that could be changed this morning, and you'd never be the same. Oh, declare us a Remiah. Hallelujah. 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 If you want to be made whole, stand up, will you? If you want to be made whole, stand up. If you want to be made whole, stand up. If you're satisfied with your sins, then that's where you have to live. I can do nothing about it. That's my plumber named Terry. Bless his heart. I just got close enough to see you, Terry. Listen, I want to tell you something, folks. We serve a God that's big and mighty and wonderful. Hallelujah. And he loves you and he cares about you. He cares about you, Brother Terry. He cares about you, dear folks. What a God we serve. Dear sir, I want you to know he wants to make you whole this morning. He said very plainly, thy faith hath made thee whole. How many of you believe Jesus can make you whole? Then let your faith act and come down to this altar and get right here before the Lord and stand in his presence like Brother Johnson. He always wants more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? I'm coming. Thank you, sir. Didn't get your name, but Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. I don't know what this gentleman needs, but God's going to give him a miracle if he'll trust in the Lord. Anybody else, I'm coming. I want a deeper walk with God. I want to get myself settled. I'm tired of being a here today and a gone tomorrow. I'm tired of being a has-been. I'm tired of being in and out and up and down. I want what Jesus has got, and I'm coming to the Christ of Calvary to give him all that I am. Hallelujah. I want everybody in this altar that wants more of God. Will you come? You want more of God? Come quickly. Step out and come. Every one of you, step out and come. I want more of God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Sean, I'm praying for you. You know that, don't you? Wow, have I prayed for her? Hallelujah. I've been praying for you, William, Abram, with all my heart, Will, Abram, for God to take you and take your life and turn it upside down for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, what a God we serve. What a God we serve. Do you know we serve a big God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you just want healing? You just want healing. You just want a deeper walk with God. I want to see the hands of everybody in the building that knows you're saved. You know that you're saved by the blood. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. I'm saved by the blood. Raise it high. I'm saved by the blood. Now I want you to bow your heads. And I want you to close your eyes. God, there were people that did not raise their hand. And I'm weeping for them to be saved this morning. I'm weeping for them to be made whole. I'm weeping for them to come to Christ and give.